So you end up getting 9,000 points for $6,000 of spend for a total of 139,000 points from one sign-up bonus of $6,000 of spend. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 59 of The Daily Churn. Today's episode is going to be a recap of all of the things that I churned in February. February was a pretty interesting month. There was a lot of things happening with banks and credit cards. Always pretty busy. There's this new Amex referral offer that everyone's pretty excited about. And I opened a bunch of new credit cards because I'm trying to rebuild my balances after using a lot of points for various business class bookings and hotel award bookings. And also just trying to get my family into the churning game as well. And that's always a bit of a challenge, as I'm sure you might know if you've tried getting parents or siblings to start churning for the first time. But also, let's see, brokerages. Brokerages was pretty active last month. There has been this kind of a feud, I guess, between Robinhood and Webull, where they're just really duking it out right now with brokerage transfer offers. So that makes the whole thing kind of exciting. I also tackled another meal kit, as I do, and a bunch of discounts and freebies, you know, with Target bringing back their $50 coupon and the Pepper app as a new thing that people were using. And it was also President's Day in February, and that's always a fun holiday weekend on Rakuten because everything goes on sale. And also just a lot of travel news and updates. There's been some Hyatt changes, which I'm sure you already know about the various award category moves that happen every year, but there are some stealth devaluations that no one seems to really be talking about. So we'll cover that as well. So a lot of stuff this episode, but before we get into it, just a reminder, as usual, that you can find all of the links to everything that we talk about today at thedailychurnpodcast.com. There's a live churn tracker that I keep updated throughout the month that lists all of these things that I'm churning as I'm churning them, so you don't have to wait for one of these recap episodes. There's data points on there and links and all of that good stuff. We also have a private Discord community, so if you want something a bit more interactive and involved, definitely check that out too. But for now, yeah, let's get back into the February recap. I thought I'd start it a little differently this time and start with the travel news and updates, because I've been on the road for the last week or so. It's snowboarding season right now, and so we kind of just been chasing powder a little bit. So went over to Powder Mountain in Utah. Did that for a few days, and then we went on to Aspen over in Colorado. And that's kind of where I wanted to start this episode, because in Aspen, my friend had booked this amazing condo through Hyatt. It was part of Hyatt's Destination Residences. So Destination Hotels were a chain that Hyatt had bought a couple years, I think back in 2019. So maybe it's been a few years, but they integrated those into Hyatt. And you can book these Destination Residences as regular Hyatt hotels in terms of category. You know, they'll be marked as Category 5 or Category 6 or Category 7, and you pay a flat rate. And this was especially crazy because there are residences that are being rented out through the Hyatt Destination program that are like 4-bedroom, 5-bathroom, these massive places that we looked up the one we stayed at. It was going for $5 million if you were to buy the place. But instead, as a rental, it was capped at a certain category. I think this one was a Category 7. And we ended up paying 70,000 points per night for this 4-bedroom, 5-bathroom, massive condo that was going for $4,000 per night if you were to pay in cash. So just ridiculous cent per point conversion. I mean, I think that's almost 6 cents per point for each of your Hyatt points. Just absolutely insane. And of course, that has been completely nerfed as of like a month ago. And no one really seems to be talking about it because I think no one realized that you could book these residences on points at a capped category. So what Hyatt has done now, and I'll link to the press article, is for the last few months, Hyatt has been teasing this new Homes and Hideaways program. It's kind of like their Airbnb-esque type offshoot, which a lot of these hotel companies are doing. And what Hyatt has done is they've moved all of these destination residences into this new Homes and Hideaways program. And so all the reviews or articles or blogs you might read online about Hyatt Homes and Hideaways, surveys, people are mostly positive and enthusiastic when Hyatt announced this back in, I think, October of last year. However, now that we know that destination residences have all moved into Home and Hideaways, the problem now is that Home and Hideaways charges a flat 1.2 cents per point for any redemption. So if something goes for $4,000 a night, it's no longer a category-based system where you pay 70,000 points. That $4,000 condo now goes for 333,000 points per night. So over a quarter million points per night. Essentially, there just are no categories with Home and Hideaways. Everything is based on just a cash-to-point conversion at 1.2 cent per point. That is just a huge, huge devaluation, and it really hits Hawaii and Snowmass, Aspen, really hard because that's where a lot of these Hyatt destination residences were. And I think just no one really knew that you could get these amazing baller residences for like 70,000 points per night. So sadly, this is the end of that gravy train. I'm glad we were able to do it for 1 year for this snow season. Definitely shedding a tear that we hadn't stayed at any other destination residences before this. But yeah, I had a pretty good week snowboarding, and as a result of all of the traveling around, trying to get to the mountain, I also hit up a few lounges at the airports, and I can definitively say now that the Capital One Lounge in Denver, it is no longer my favorite lounge. It was, you know, a few months ago when it first opened, but that honeymoon sheen has definitely worn off, and a big part of that is because it's become so crowded. So every Venture X card gets you access plus two guests. So you can imagine that if everyone gets to bring in two guests and you don't really enforce any kind of capacity control, it's going to be pretty chaotic in there. And it was. And also, just like the layout is not the best, they don't have that much space. There's not a lot of natural light, which isn't their fault, but the whole thing kind of adds to this feeling of just feeling very hot and suffocated once you're there. Versus, I had the chance to visit the renovated Delta Lounge at Salt Lake City for the first time. And man, I was blown away because that lounge is probably 10x the size of the Denver Capital One and Centurion lounges. And there's just a ton of natural light. There's like skylights and a lot of window views. Massive, massive place. And the best part, at least when I was there, was that there was just no children, zero kids. I did not see a single kid the whole time I was there. And I think a big reason for that is that to get into one of these Delta lounges, you need to either be flying Delta with elite status, or you're flying in a premium cabin, or you have the American Express Platinum, but you're also flying Delta. And so that eliminates a lot of the non-business travelers. So everyone there that I saw were just business travelers. And it really just felt like a grown-up lounge, like a lounge for adults. You know, the drinks and the food were great. The bartenders were professional. And so it was definitely a night and day experience, having never really gone to one of these newly renovated Delta lounges. But of course, I'm sure a lot of that experience is going to vary on the day of the week that you travel and what time. But at least for the day that we were traveling on, man, I really, really enjoyed that lounge experience. And it felt like more of an international lounge than a US domestic lounge. But yeah, to pay for all of these flights and these award bookings at hotels and stuff, I've been transferring a lot of points around in February, primarily Chase points into Hyatt, and then Hyatt using their transfer form over to my friend Kung, because he's globalist for the year and he's able to make guest of honor bookings. I literally transferred him almost 1 million points in February using a form, and that actually ran into some snags. I'm not sure if anyone has encountered this yet, but my Hyatt concierge that he was assigned initially said that you couldn't transfer more than 200,000 Hyatt points to another member, which I have not seen any terms and conditions anywhere about 200 being the limit. One of the best parts about Hyatt is that they have unlimited points combining request forms. So you can transfer as many points as you want to anyone else. The only limitation is that you can only send or receive points once every every 30 days. So we've never run into this 200,000 point limit before. And eventually, just messaging again, a different My Hyatt concierge just went ahead and transferred 1 million points, no questions asked. Yeah, I mean, the TLDR with My Hyatt concierges is that they're pretty hit or miss, mostly misses. I mean, if you look on Flyer Talk, most people are pretty unhappy with their My Hyatt concierge. There's a few good ones that people are all trying to switch to, but they don't always approve your switch over. But the transfer went through. But what was interesting, though, is looking at My Hyatt account, they actually did transfer 1 million points in multiples of 200,000 points at a time. So it ended up being 5 separate 200,000 point transfers. But yeah, outside of Hyatt, I've also been trying to figure out how to use my Marriott 5 free nights that I got from the Chase Boundless card. For P2, we'd used hers at the Westin Hapuna, which is a great deal if you can find it going for $65,000 per night or less, because these certificates are only worth $50,000 a night, and you can top them up by $15,000, which means you can redeem them for up to $65,000. So I kind of wanted to spread, you know, my options out a little bit this time, and a couple folks over on Discord actually recommended the Tambo del Inca in Peru. I think it's near Machu Picchu. It's a really beautiful resort from the pictures, and so that's definitely a top contender for now, and it seems pretty easy to book. Pretty much every night is going for around $50,000, but if you have suggestions for other places, it could be anywhere. We're pretty open to, you know, going to any country to use these certificates up. Definitely leave a comment, because I'm on the search for the best value / highest quality or redemption you can get out of these certificates. Because one of the annoying things with the certificates that happened for the first time this year is that Chase has sent out 1099 INT forms for the 5 free nights. And I think mine was for $450. So they valued these 5 free nights as $450 on a 1099, which kind of sucks because now you have to pay taxes on it. And I think they're the first company to have done this with free night certificates, as far as I know. And so, yeah, the value proposition is definitely a lot lower with the Chase Boundless card. I'm not sure if Amex is doing the same thing with their 5 free nights, but yeah, just be warned with the Chase ones. They are sending out 1099s. But my long-term plan with this card is to upgrade it, just do a product change into the Ritz-Carlton card, because you can't open that Ritz-Carlton card directly anymore. You can only product change into it. And both myself and P2 have the Boundless card, which we can product change to. You can only product change within the Marriott family because it is a Marriott co-branded card. But the benefit of product changing over to the Ritz-Carlton card is that card gives you an 85,000 point free night certificate every year. And so if you have two of those cards between yourself and P2, that's two of those certificates. And those certificates can also be topped up another $15,000, which means you can make them into $100,000 redemption, which is pretty good. Like, that covers most top tier Marriott properties. And so that's kind of worth it. There's an annual fee, but that's offset by travel incidental credits. And so there's a little bit of like a cost benefit analysis there, but I think it is ultimately worth it for those two free certificates every year with two of those cards. Another option I've been considering is opening some Hilton cards for their free night certificate, because I didn't realize this until just a week or two ago, but Hilton free night certificates have no cap. I guess I was so jaded from coming from Marriott and even Hyatt, you know, they cap the free night certificates. With Hilton, if you get a free night certificate, which you get with some of their credit cards, you can use them at any Hilton property, including Waldorf Astoria's and Conrad's, which is their top tier brands. So you can open, let's say, a Hilton Aspire card, which gives you Hilton Diamond status immediately, which is their top tier status. Plus, it gives you a free night certificate. And then it gives you another one if you spend $30,000 and another one if you spend $60,000. Or you can open the Business Surpass card, which gives you one free night certificate at $15,000 of spend and then another one at $60,000 of spend. Plus, it doesn't affect your 524 status, so you can get one for yourself and for your P2. And if you time it right, sometimes their sign-up bonuses with Hilton, they'll include points but also throw in a free night certificate. So you can pretty easily, between two players, end up with like 7 or 8 of these free night certificates that you can use at pretty much any Hilton hotel, except for a handful of properties that are excluded. So really interesting deal. I wish I kind of figured this out sooner, but it's never too late. And there are some links floating around, I think, that will help you bypass the Amex pop-up if you're in pop-up jail. You know, these links don't trigger the pop-up, and some of these links don't have a lifetime limit. So even if you've opened this card before, you can open it again and get the bonus. So definitely something to keep an eye out for. It's something I'm going to explore a little more in the coming months. Finally, with travel and hotel updates, last one I promise is the Wyndham Caesar status match. So I'd opened the Wyndham Business Earners card a few months back, and that's a great card for a number of reasons. I'll link to a great post by Frequent Miler, who basically outlines how you can get free cruises as a result of opening the Wyndham Business Earners card. And a key step to getting those free cruises is to match your Wyndham status, because the card gives you automatic diamond status with Wyndham. Once you have that, you can match that status to Caesars, the Vegas hotel, and get diamond with Caesars. And because Caesars owns some cruise companies, you'll start getting free cruise offers. And some of these cruise offers can be quite good. And if you're on the fence about cruises, like I was, I've always just thought, man, I don't want to go on a cruise. There's a great podcast episode by Chris Hutchins over at All the Hacks, where I think the title is basically like changing your mind about cruises, where he interviews someone who does a lot of cruises. I'm convinced after that. And I'm like trying to get my friends to open this business earners card so that we can go on some cruises together, free cruises together. And yeah, I matched the Caesars and it was taking a while. It used to take, I think, just a few days. For some reason this year, they've slowed down. I think some programs don't even match anymore. So I wonder if this is a, you know, the last dying breath of this status match program. But after 2 weeks, I did get matched. So if you haven't done your match yet, I'd recommend doing it sooner rather than later in case they kill these matches. And if you haven't opened one of these cards yet, I'd also recommend doing that sooner rather than later. Like, the trajectory of status matches in Vegas seems to be going down the path of not doing status matches, except for folks who actually earn their status through actual casino play, which I think is not most of us churners. So yeah, busy month with all this travel stuff, but let's get back into the churning side of this recap, starting with banks. It was a pretty interesting month for banks. So there were a couple big bank funding, let's call them unicorns, that died in February. And there's already a lot of discussion around that in the private Discord, so I won't dwell on it too much here, other than to say, you know, as with all things churning, when one thing dies, a couple more doors tend to open up. So always just keep your ear to the ground and an eye out for new potential opportunities. But in terms of bonuses that posted for me from banks in February, I got two Fidelity Bloom bonuses. If you recall from a couple episodes back, this was a bonus that Fidelity Bloom, the app, was doing where they give you a 10% match on your $300 deposit. And it's supposed to be a one-time thing, but they've been refreshing it every year. So again, this year, that promo came around again, and I deposited $300 for both myself and P2, and that 10% match, so $30 for each of us, posted at the beginning of February. Upgrade also came around and increased their Premier Savings bonus, which is available via referral. So I think it was last month that they increased their Premier Checking bonus from, I think it was just $100 to $200 for the person being referred, and if they deposit $1,000. So that was the checking improvement. But in February, they increased their Premier Savings bonus as well. And they increased it by quite a bit. So the previous iteration used to cap out at $200 for each person, like $200 for you and $200 for the person you're referring, if they max it out by depositing $50,000. And it was a justifiable deposit because Upgrade is offering 5.12% interest on the money in that savings account. So a really great interest rate. So if you have money to park, it's a great place to park it. But they increased that now to $500 for both parties if you deposit up to $100,000. So if you have $100,000 in cash sitting around in, let's say, iBonds or some other high yield savings account or checking account, it may make sense to move them over to upgrade instead. If you can get to that 100K threshold, you'd be making $500. And this works the best if you have a P2, because you will earn $500 for joining, and then you can refer a P2 to the savings account, and then you'd each get $500. And that money is earning 5.12%, and it's only a 60-day hold. I think DMAC over on Discord calculated it out, where it ends up essentially being an 11% annualized return on your $100,000 if you have a P2. So really a pretty good deal when it comes to high yield savings accounts. I think this is probably the best I've seen and the best that it gets. Unfortunately, I joined back when it was still that $200 bonus, which is okay. It's how it goes with churning. You know, like, you don't know when these offers are going to go up or go down. And so I ended up getting $200 from depositing 50K and then also $200 from a referral. So ended up getting $400 from the Upgrade Premier Savings. And I also ended up getting a bunch of upgrade checking referrals in February. So between myself and P2, we ended up getting 9 checking referrals. I think the fact they increased that from $100 to $200 for signing up made it a lot more attractive for folks. And the referee, the person referring, gets $50 for each of those referrals. So myself and P2, we ended up getting $450 total from the upgrade checking referrals. So really nice boost, and I really appreciate everyone who used one of those referrals. Thankful for Upgrade for upping everything. I guess it's a new year, so new marketing budget for them to blow through. So ended up getting a total of $850 from Upgrade, plus the 60 from Fidelity, for a total of 910 in bank bonuses in February. Then on the credit card side of things, February was pretty busy. I mean, it's been a pretty busy couple months in general to start the new year. I think I'm currently working on 5 different minimum spends with different cards right now, which may seem like a lot or seem like nothing to you, depending on where on the churning spectrum you are. But the big news with credit cards was that Amex has launched a new referral offer, which is quite lucrative if you're able to meet the spend. With the Amex Business Gold, and I think it's showing up on a bunch of cards too, so it's not just the Amex Business Gold, but log into your Amex account and just see if you're seeing this offer, which is that if you refer someone, you will get 10x on dining up to $25,000 worth of spend. So what that means is for $25,000 worth of spend on dining, you'll get 10 points per dollar, which equals 250,000 Amex points. So the way that referral offer works is that you can refer anyone and they can open any Amex card. It doesn't have to be the card you refer from. However, you will only get that 10x on dining on the card that you referred from. So let's use an example, like if I refer someone using the Amex Business Gold and they actually open an Amex card, and it can be any Amex card as long as they opened it using my referral link, I will get 10x on dining specifically on that Amex Business Gold. It isn't on all of the cards that I have with Amex. So for the person being referred, they can open any card. For the person referring, that 10x only applies to the card where you generated that link from. So that's an important distinction to keep in mind. But going back to the example of referring someone from the Amex Business Gold, that's a particularly lucrative path because the Amex Business Gold earns 4 points per dollar on your top 2 categories each month. So if dining is one of your top 2 categories, which it probably will be if you're trying to spend $25,000 in dining, so spending $25,000 in dining with the Amex Business Gold will earn you 4 points per dollar, which equals another 100,000 points. On top of that, when you refer the person, you get another 15 to 25K points. So it varies depending on your account. I'm personally being targeted for a 20,000 point referral bonus. Some people are seeing 15, some people are seeing 25. I'm sure there's other variations as well. But if you tally all of that together, the 250,000 points for the 10X on dining for 25K spend in dining, plus the 100K from the fact that the Amex Business Gold earns 4 points per dollar, plus the 20K for referring a person, that's 370,000 Amex points, or roughly 15 points per dollar that you're earning on dining spend. That's a really, really crazy multiplier, and that doesn't even include the bonus that the person you're referring gets for signing up for an Amex card. However, you know, if you're doing this like in P1, P2 mode and you refer P2, so P2 gets that sign-up bonus for the new card that they open, keep in mind that these sign-up bonuses for the person you refer are kind of mediocre. Like, you can find better offers elsewhere. And so that's one issue with these referral offers, is that it doesn't really make sense for, let's say, someone who isn't your friend or isn't your P2 to actually use your referral offer, because it's not as good as some of the other public offers that you could be sourcing elsewhere. So with that in mind, given that these offers aren't the best, one strategy is for the other person just to open a zero annual fee card, you know, like a Amex Business Lowe's card, or just some kind of a burner card, just so that the person who's referring can get that $25,000 of dining spend at 10 points per dollar. The person being referred is just doing it to benefit the person referring, which is why this makes the most sense if you have a P2 or if you have a friend who you've agreed to trade Amex referrals with. But assuming you're able to get someone to use your referral and you're able to put $25,000 of spend towards dining over 3 months, this is easily one of the most lucrative Amex offers out there. And if you're able to call in and see if they have any employee card offers where you get extra points for spending money on an employee card and spread that $25,000 across your employee cards, this can be an even more lucrative offer. So a lot of people really excited about these new Amex referral offers. And yeah, I'll probably be opening one of these cards myself soon, but haven't gotten around to opening it yet because I'm working on so many other cards. Which a big one that we just finished the min spend on was the Capital One Venture X business card. So that card is the refreshed offer that I opened. So P2 had the old one, she referred me, and I joined under the new offer where you spend $20,000 instead of $30,000 to get 150,000 Capital One points. And yeah, I had P2 refer me a month or two ago. I was instantly approved, and it probably helped that I had a Capital One 360 checking account open, because I know some people are struggling to get approved for this Venture X business card. But if you're able to get approved, it's a pretty great card. It earns 2 points on everything. So by spending $20,000, you end up earning 40,000 points on that $20,000 of spend, plus the 150,000 bonus points, ends up being 190,000 points for $20,000 spend, which is pretty good. I mean, that's worth like $1,900 if you cashed it out straight for travel. And if you're a big spender or a big churner and you're able to get to $100,000 worth of spend, Capital One gives you another 150,000 points for hitting that 100,000 spend threshold. So you'd end up earning another 150,000 plus the fact that you spent another 80,000 on top of the 20,000, which itself earns another 160,000 points. So another 310,000 points total. You can start to see how this card can earn you a lot of points. And you have 6 months to make that 100,000 milestone. So I don't know, I'm on the fence. I'm going to try and get to $100,000 of spend in 6 months and see if I can make that happen and get the extra points, but TBD. One nice thing I did want to point out, though, with these Capital One points is that they post really, really quick. So Capital One does it differently than all the other banks. So all the other banks wait until your statement closes and your payment is paid and then the points show up in your account. Capital One posts their points within a day or two of you making the spend. So it's not just bonuses either. Like, if you spend $10 at a grocery store, within a day or two, you're going to end up getting 20 points immediately in your account. You don't have to wait until the statement closes. And the same goes for their sign-up bonuses. As soon as you hit the spend threshold, within a day or two, the points post into your account. And that was particularly useful for me because I was trying to transfer the Capital One points over to Cathay to to make a business class booking, which I kind of talked about a little bit in the prior episode with Japan Airlines and ANA. So yeah, it was nice to be able to access those points immediately. One downside though was that Capital One froze my account for making that Cathay transfer immediately after receiving the points. I called them, had to talk to their fraud department. The whole thing took like 45 minutes, but basically they were just like, yeah, we wanted to make sure that it was you transferring all of your points that you just earned out of Capital One, which, you know, is what I did, but was a little annoying that they just froze it for a legitimate transfer. Luckily, it was pretty easy to get resolved and yeah, ended up getting my 190,000 points from Capital One in February, and then P2 actually got 25,000 points for referring me, and then I got 25,000 points twice for referring two people. So if you're one of those people that use my Capital One Venture X business referral link, really appreciate it because we ended up getting 75,000 points total in referrals, plus the 190 from the sign-up bonus for a total of 265,000 Capital One points in February, which is worth roughly $26.50 if you redeem it directly for travel at 1 cent per point. I also went on a bit of a Chase business card opening spree in February, so I opened the Hyatt business card. That offer was 75,000 points for spending $15,000. I think you get 60,000 points first after you spend, I think, $5,000. So it's kind of tiered. The reason I got it, though, was that I have quite a few Hyatt stays coming up this year, and Hyatt award stays count towards your qualifying status nights. And so because I have quite a few Hyatt stays, I figured maybe I'll just try making a run for Globalist this year via credit card spend, because I don't have to try and earn the whole 60 nights. I've got like 20 or 30 Hyatt nights coming up this year. So just have to churn my way through 30 nights via the credit card, which is a lot more doable than 60 nights. So that's something I'm shooting for this year, is to earn my own Globalist, because my friend currently is booking all our Guest of Honor things. But as you probably know from the Hyatt changes in 2025, it's no longer unlimited Guest of Honor bookings if you're a Globalist member. You get, I think, 4 or 3 of those that you can gift and book, but it's not unlimited. So, you know, can't go out and make like 50 Guest of Honor bookings for all of us. So it'd be useful for me to have my own Globalist status. So yeah, that's a big part of why I'm really gunning for Globalist this year. And yeah, I signed up using Ellen's referral link over in the referrals channel on Discord. And it was great because I was instant approved. So thank you, Ellen. I also referred my P2 to an Ink Premier card, and that's the one that has, I think it's a $199 annual fee, but the sign-up bonus is 100,000 points for $10,000 of spend. And I wanted to get this card because I don't have an Ink Premier currently. I've been churning primarily the Ink Preferred, Ink Unlimited, and Ink Cash because they have lower fees and comparable sign-up bonuses. But the Ink Premier, the unique thing with that is that it earns 2% cash back on all your purchases, but on purchases over $5,000, it earns 2.5% cash back. So it really rewards these bigger purchases. And 2.5% cash back, that's pretty good. That's about as good as it gets. And I have some pretty big purchases coming up. And so figured may as well open that card despite the $199 annual fee. Plus, I'm not going to lie, it feels kind of nice to have like the full Chase trifecta or Quafecta. I mean, I've literally every single Chase card, I think, at this point, but that was one that I was missing. And so, yeah, nice to complete the collection. My P2 had also opened the Chase Ink Unlimited back in January, right before that 90K offer died. Well, it had died already via referral links, and I'd referred her to that card. But because the 90K offer was still public at the time, the referral link could drop down to 70K, but the public offer was still 90K, like public not using a referral. And when that happens, you have a small window of time where you can secure a message Chase and request to be matched to that 90K offer, the public offer, even though you used a referral link that only gave you 75K. And so I was able to successfully do that for P2. She finished her spend. She had 75,000 points post automatically. Then we messaged Chase. We messaged them before to confirm that they would match. They confirmed they would. And so once she finished spend, we messaged them again and they deposited the additional 15K. Then I got 40K for referring my P2. And she also got another 9K for meeting that spend because you have to spend $6,000 and the Chase Inc. Unlimited earns 1.5 points per dollar. So you end up getting 9,000 points for $6,000 of spend for a total of 139,000 points from one signup bonus of $6,000 of spend. What an amazing offer, and definitely like RIP on that because it's dropped back down to 75K. My P2 also got another 40K for referring me to an Inc. Unlimited, which I also opened in January. Still working on the spend on that. You know, I'm working on like four or five different minimum spends, but P2 ended up getting 179,000 Chase points in February. Also with Chase, I got 20,000 Southwest points for referring my dad. So I've been trying to get my family into churning, and my dad is my first success story because I got him to open the Southwest Performance Business Card for 80,000 Southwest points, and I got him to open the Personal Premier Card for another, is it 50 or 60,000 Southwest points? And he opened both of them, and he's done with spend on the business card, and he's almost done with spend on the Personal Premier Card. And when you tally the two of those together, he's going to have enough points that will earn him 2 years of Companion Pass. Really excited about that because prior to this, I've been booking all of my parents' Southwest flights and they don't have Companion Pass, so it costs double the points. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense. You know, you guys want to come see me. Mom can fly for free if you just open these cards. And I was able to convince him with that argument. So you always have to find the right argument to convince the right person. And I'm slowly chipping away at P2's family now, where I'm just like, come on, just let me manage your points balances and your credit card openings. You know, like, it pains me when they tell us that they booked their domestic flight to go see us and it cost them like $1,500 to fly domestically to come see. And I'm just like, what? How many thousands of dollars are you spending on travel each year? I could eliminate that completely, but I need you to give me your social security number and your address and everything else so that I can just open and manage these balances for you. Like, I'll do this for free, like your family, but it still takes work to try and convince people that credit cards are good. Like, this is going to improve your credit score in the long run. You're going to travel for free. It seems like a no-brainer for us churners, but I'm sure you all know that the pains of trying to convince others who are unfamiliar with credit cards and think credit is bad to get on the churning train. But won my dad over. If that's all I did this year, I think I'd be happy. So I got 20,000 points for referring my dad. So I guess that's a side bonus of doing this. And Southwest actually launched a new offer, which is probably the offer I would have done for my dad if this was around when he did it, because it's a much more streamlined way of getting Companion Pass, albeit for less time. So the new offer is you can open any of the three Southwest personal cards, just open one of them. And by opening one of them and spending $4,000 in 3 months, Southwest will give you 30,000 points plus Companion Pass until February of 2025. So if you do the more in-depth method of opening two cards and actually earning it properly, you'd get Companion Pass all the way through end of 2025 instead of having it expire in February of 2025. But this new offer is just way simpler for anyone who's new to the churning game. So I think this is sort of their candy to the baby thing to like luring you in. So yeah, it's a pretty good offer and it's available via referral as well. If you need a referral, you can always find mine at thedailychurnpodcast.com/referrals. Or if you're part of our private Discord community, I would definitely recommend just using someone's referral from the referrals channel so you can spread the love a little bit and make someone's day. Finally, on the topic of referrals, actually, Dizzy shared something pretty interesting over on the Discord, which is that she ended up getting 200,000 Amex points by posting her referral on Frequent Miler. So Frequent Miler is a blog, and I didn't know this either, but they do a thing where if you're able to generate an Amex referral that pulls up one of the best offers for the gold card or the platinum card, the best offer being like, I think 90,000 points for the person being referred for the gold card or 150,000 points for the person being referred to the platinum card. If your referral link is able to 100% of the time generate that offer for the person being referred. 100% of the time being the key word here, because some of us have offers and sometimes it pulls up the best offer for the person being referred. Sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, Amex being Amex, they have all kinds of different rules for when that offer might show. But some people are lucky enough to be targeted with an offer where that person being referred is able to pull up the 90K or the 150K offer 100% of the time. So if you're blessed to have one of these referral links, you can share it on a Facebook thread that Frequent Miler creates, and they validate these links to make sure it does 100% pull up that offer. But if you have one and you share it on that link, they will post that link on their blog, which gets a ton of traffic. So just having your link on their blog up for like a day or two, Dizzy was able to get 200,000 Amex points. So she's maxed out her Amex referrals just from that post. And they're always looking for more of these 100% links because they try and share those links because, you know, they're the best offers you can sign up with. And so people want to use them, but it doesn't make sense for them to just keep posting one person's links because that person will max out on referrals after five referrals. And we're just like wasting referral bonuses. So they try and alternate and switch out links. So if you're able to generate that 100% link, I'm not able to. My links show, I think, 70K for the gold and 120K for the platinum or something. I wasn't targeted for the better ones. But if you are, I'll post a link to that Frequent Miler blog post that details what link they're looking for and how to share it on their Facebook thread so that it doesn't get deleted and all the various requirements. And yeah, it's just always worth checking out your links and staying on top of places that you can post your referral link to help boost your referral bonuses with pretty minimal effort. But in terms of credit cards and tallying credit cards up, there was the 265,000 Capital One points, 179,000 Chase points, and 20,000 Southwest points for a total of 464,000 credit card points in February. Moving right on to brokerages. The big brokerage offer that everyone's talking about right now is the Webull transfer bonus. So if you recall from the last recap for January, Robinhood has already released their IRA transfer bonus of 3%. And that was pretty good. Like a lot of people jumped onto that. I'm in the process of doing it right now, but Webull in February is trying to top Robinhood's 3% IRA transfer bonus by offering 3.5% as their bonus and actually increasing it to 4.5% if you refer someone to open that IRA account as well. So we're looking at 4.5%. Let's go with that threshold because I'm assuming you can probably at least refer like a friend or a P2 to get that 4.5%. It is 50% better than the Robinhood one on the surface. But the thing that, like, once you dig into the terms, that's not as appealing with this Webull one is that it has a similar 5-year holding period where if you move your retirement account over to Webull, if you want to keep the bonus, you can't move it out within 5 years. But unlike Robinhood, the Webull one pays their 4.5% bonus in installments over 5 years. So each year you get 20% of the bonus. And that's negative because instead of getting it up front and being able to invest the money, Webull's holding onto it and slow dripping it, which means you're losing out on potential investment gains. The additional thing that's like not great is that they're paying that bonus into your taxable brokerage account at Webull instead of depositing it into your retirement account. What that means is you're going to owe taxes on that 4.5%. Whereas with Robinhood, that 3% is deposited immediately into your retirement account. And the benefit of that is that you aren't taxed on that deposit because it just counts as interest in your retirement account, which isn't taxed until you withdraw it in the case of a traditional IRA, or not taxed at all if it's a Roth IRA. And that's especially crazy because the Roth IRA usually has a limit to how much you can contribute in a year, but this doesn't count as contribution. This counts as interest on your account. So it essentially bypasses the contribution limit on your Roth IRA. So it's a pretty crazy way of doing it, the way Robinhood's doing it. Like, crazy in the sense it's very lucrative, especially compared to the Webull implementation, which even though it's higher at 4.5%, I'm not sure if someone has done the math on, like, if you assume a market return rate of 7%, even though Webull offers 4.5%, which is 50% more than Robinhood, the fact that they spread out those payments over 5 years, plus it goes into a taxable brokerage account where you'll pay taxes versus directly into your retirement account, what is the net effect there? Like, which one ends up being better? In any case, I went with the Robinhood one because I started doing it before the Webull offer even came out. But if someone's done the math, please do share. Someone better at math than I hopefully has calculated this already. But yeah, I'm currently in the process of transferring P2's retirement assets over to Robinhood from Vanguard. She had a bunch from back when she was working before we did the fire thing in a 401k that we'd rolled over. And yeah, Vanguard is not my favorite firm. So the transfer failed, actually, which is why it's taking longer than it probably should have, because there were some mutual funds in the Vanguard account that I'd forgotten about, and you can't transfer mutual funds over. You have to sell them and keep them in cash or sell them and buy the ETF versions, which is what we ended up doing. But when the transfer failed, Vanguard ended up just completely locking her account, period. It wasn't even just like you can reinitiate another one. She wasn't even able to trade anything. Those mutual funds, we couldn't even sell them because her whole account was locked because this ACATS transfer had failed. I don't think any other brokerage firm does that other than Vanguard. And she had to call. It took an hour. Like, everything with Vanguard is just so slow and painful. And I know Robinhood has a reputation, but I'm honestly a little excited to just leave Vanguard completely. But yeah, moving that over to Robinhood. Hopefully we'll see a nice fatty bonus post for that sometime in March. But in February, the Robinhood bonus that did post was that Robinhood was also offering a 1% ACATS transfer bonus for taxable brokerages, so just your regular brokerage account. And so what I did with my P2 is we pulled our brokerage funds together using Fidelity, and I did an episode explaining how to do that. I think it was episode 49, where you can open a joint account at Fidelity and they let you move stocks between your joint and individual accounts instantly. So it becomes really easy to pull funds together and then just move it to one person. So we had all of our funds pulled, moved it over to me, and I initiated the Robinhood transfer of $350,000. So basically all of our taxable brokerage account money that we have saved because we're doing the fire thing. A lot of our money is in stocks. Transferred that over to Robinhood, and in, I think, under a week, the money showed up at Robinhood, and $3,500, so 1% of $350,000, posted immediately. And I immediately invested that in a total market index fund. So that's now earning market returns. And so, yeah, it was very, very smooth. I love how quickly that bonus posted. It is now locked in with Robinhood for 2 years. Like, if we don't want to lose any of that bonus, we can't withdraw any of that money out. But we plan to keep it with Robinhood. You know, it makes things pretty easy. And sadly, that bonus offer ended at the end of January. But of course, Webull came in February and offered a even better bonus. Unfortunately, it was targeted. So Webull's one is offering 3% for your transfer in, which is, I mean, that's really good. I would have definitely done the Webull one if we were targeted for it. But it seems that they're only targeting customers who have a margin account with Webull, which we did not. But I'll link to that Webull offer in the show notes, and you can see if maybe you're targeted, because 3% is as good as it's ever gotten for any brokerage bonus. Finally, on the brokerage front, I also got some M1 Finance referral bonuses. So we talked about them a little bit in last month's recap, but they were offering $250 for you and the person you're referring if they join and deposit $10,000 with M1, and that 10K can be cash or it can be stocks. We ended up just putting that 10K in S-Gov, so the short-term treasury fund, which is a pretty popular one that we use, just so they earn some interest, essentially, while it sits there for 30 days. Sadly, they reduced that referral bonus down from 250 to 100. So really kind of nerfed it quite a bit. I don't know if $100 is worth even doing unless you have 10K laying around anyway, and you can just make $100. But luckily, I was able to join back when it was 250 and also refer P2. So I got 250 for joining, then 250 for referring P2, then P2 got 250 for joining, so that's 750. Then I referred a couple people, but the bonus had already dropped to $100, so ended up getting $200 referrals. So a total of $950 in bonuses from M1. And if you did join M1, I would definitely double check to see if they automatically subscribed you to the M1 Plus paid plan. It's basically a useless paid plan that it seems some people were auto-subscribed during sign-up. I wasn't, but I've seen a few data points on Discord where people were auto-subscribe. So make sure you cancel that, and definitely worth checking just to make sure they didn't auto-sub you. Tallying up the brokerage churns, it was that $950 from M1 plus $3,500 from Robinhood for a total of $4,450 from brokerages. And I definitely know that number is skewed a little bit because, you know, the Robinhood one is highly dependent on how much you transfer in. So if you transferred in $100 million, Robinhood, in theory, would pay out $1 million to you at 1%, right? And then my numbers would be like, I made $1 million churning in February, which obviously wouldn't be very representative. But these bonuses are out there, and I want to track everything as I'm getting them exactly. So, you know, no fudging numbers, no hiding stuff. This is just how much I'm making churning. And, you know, we're doing the fire thing. So we have quite a bit of assets just saved up in stocks. And that's part of why I love doing these brokerage bonuses, because it earns money on top of the market returns. All right, next up we have meal kits. So I got another HelloFresh 75% targeted mailer. If you're not familiar with those are, they're mailers for people who have canceled HelloFresh. They're like a comeback, resubscribe to us, and you'll get 75% off of the first box. The key is you have to read the fine print, because reading the big print of like 18 boxes free or 20 boxes free, like that means nothing. You have to read the fine print of how much of a discount you're getting on the first box. And I've been lucky enough to just consistently get one or two of these every few months where the comeback offer is 75% off of the first box. And that's better than most of the offers. Like I probably get, you know, 10 HelloFresh mailers in a month, and only one of them will be the 75%. The reason 75% is really good is because you can max out a box for four people eating six meals. So you basically get 24 servings in a box. And instead of it costing $200, 75% means it only costs $50. So a really big discount on a lot of food. The downside is you're doing a lot of HelloFresh cooking if there's only actually two of you, but you got a box for four people with six dinners worth of food. But a heads up too, though, and maybe I can try and post a picture of this in the show notes. The 75% mailers, they've changed what they look like. They just updated, and usually I know which ones to shred without even reading the fine print, but I'm going to be a little more careful going forward in case I get one that's in a different style. But for February, ended up redeeming one of those, saved $150. I won't count it as a $150 discount because I definitely wouldn't pay $200 for a box that size. But maybe I probably would pay like $100. So I'm going to say it's a $50 discount because I only ended up spending $50 on that box. Finally, we have discounts and freebies. So quite a few of these came up in February. The one I think most people will be interested in is that Target is back with their Red Card offer. So you get $50 for opening a Target Red Card, either a debit card or reloadable, or even a credit card. But I wouldn't recommend opening a Target credit card because that's going to affect your 524, go on your credit report, all that bad stuff. But open the reloadable or the debit anytime between February 4th and May 4th. So you have a 3-month window. And if you open during that time, they'll send you with the card a $50 off $50 coupon. Now, the latest churning rules with Target is that it needs to be 180 days since you last opened your Target Red Card. So if it's been over 180 days, make sure that Red Card is closed, first off. You can close that anytime, even if you close it right before opening the new one. But as long as it's been 180 days since you last opened it, you'll be good to open another one and get another $50 coupon. In our case, P2 had opened hers in November, so if you add 180 days or 6 months, it's just outside of the May 4th end date of this offer, so she won't be eligible. I opened mine back in October, so I think beginning of May, I'm going to be eligible to open another one of these. So cutting it a little bit close, since May 4th is the end date, but I should be able to get another $50 coupon. And we've been trying to open that reloadable. I mean, every 3 months we give it a try, and we've just not been able to get approved other than the first reloadable that we got. However, there are reports, you know, on Doctor of Credit with comments being like, hey, I was able to open multiple of these reloadables every few months. So it really just varies person by person. Worth giving it a try anytime one of these offers comes around and just seeing if you get lucky and get approved for the reloadable on top of the debit card. Then in February, it was also President's Day, which I love these little, you know, national holidays, because that's when cashback portals like Rakuten bump up all of their cashback amounts. And I usually wait until these holidays, and it's pretty consistent. Pretty much any federal holiday, they'll use that as an excuse to bump up cashback, often to the max. So PetSmart was at the highest that it ever gets to, which is 20% via Rakuten. And I love ordering pet food during that time because you can also stack it with the auto ship discount of 35%, which is capped at $20. If you order through PetSmart and sign up for auto ship, then there's also Pepper, which is a new like gift card buying app that we'll talk about in a little bit. But Pepper was giving another 10% off of PetSmart gift cards. So if you stack the 20% through Rakuten for being President's Day, then 10% via Pepper, then another 35% or $20 from the auto ship, you end up getting pet food at less than half the price. And anytime one of these holidays comes around, I end up buying like 3-4 months worth of dog food because we have 3 70-pound dogs. They eat a lot of dog food. I prefer to try and give them better dog food than just what you can buy at Costco. And so getting, you know, an $80 bag of pet food for $40 is a big win savings-wise. Dell was also running their highest cashback via Rakuten, which was 15%. Sometimes you'll see 10% or 12%, but 15% is the highest I've ever seen via any cashback portal for Dell. So good to wait for 15% to come around. And then when it does, use your Amex Business Platinum $200 Dell credits. And people always ask, like, what kind of stuff can you buy on Dell? Because it's like not anyone's first place to shop for things. But if it's free, it's free. And you can buy computer keyboards, computer mice, screens, you know, monitors, thumb drives, solid state drives, PS5s, Wii games. One thing that I tend to gravitate towards is just acquiring more Hue items. Hue, like the lighting company, Philips Hue, because we have a lot of Philips Hue light bulbs. But the thing I particularly like buying is the Philips Hue Cygnus lamps. They're these standing lamps. They have a floor version and a table version. And they're just really nice for ambiance, but they're way overpriced. They're like $250 for a table lamp, $350 or something for a floor lamp. So great use of Amex credits, especially when you're going to get 15% back through Rakuten. So that's what we ended up spending our first half of the year Dell credits on. I won't count all these discounts directly in the tally. What I'm going to do instead going forward is just count the payouts that I get from Rakuten. So Rakuten does quarterly payouts. And we just got a set of payouts in February for myself and P2. So I ended up getting $83.78 from Rakuten, and P2 got $74.51. So basically just, you know, the Rakuten payouts for a variety of retailers for which we activate their cashback portal. And Rakuten is definitely the one we use the most. It's just really simple to use. And oftentimes, if it's within a percent or two of top cashback or rebates me, I tend to just gravitate towards Rakuten because things are just so much more reliable. But yeah, just personal preference. I also ended up getting a couple referrals to Rakuten, which paid out in February as well. So appreciate you for using that. It was $30 times two, so $60 there. So tallying up Rakuten, it was $218 total from Rakuten payouts in February. I've also been trying to use the Pepper app. So we use that for PetSmart. I've been buying like Amazon and Home Depot gift cards on there. It's just a gift card store. So you buy gift cards at 5% discount. But I think it was until mid-February. So if you joined before mid-February, for the first 30 days, if you joined using a referral offer, you would get 10%, so double cashback on the gift cards that you buy, which turns out to be a pretty good deal. I mean, so I got the PetSmart ones for 10% off, which is a 10% savings that I wouldn't have gotten otherwise. And you buy these gift cards using a credit card, including like an Amex card. They accept all the usual credit cards. So you're earning points, or in my case, sign-up bonus spend, when I buy through Pepper. So that's on top of the 10% discount that Pepper gives. And they have quite a few retailers on there, including Amazon and Home Depot. So Home Depot is interesting because Home Depot rarely sells gift cards at 10% off. They do it a few times a year, unlike Lowe's, where they're constantly selling gift cards at 10% off. Home Depot, it's a little rarer, but through the Pepper app, you can just buy as much Home Depot gift card as you want. Same with Amazon, getting 10% off of Amazon on top of your credit card points that you get for buying that Amazon gift card, you're saving like 15% or so off of Amazon purchases. So I just went in and I bought $2,000 of Amazon and Home Depot gift cards, not even to resell, just for me to use in the next few months. So it's a pretty good discount. And of course, if you were reselling gift cards, that's a profitable margin where you would make money or at least break even while earning your credit card points. I can't recall exactly what the limits were. I think someone had mentioned it was like $10,000 a week, I think, that you can buy in gift cards through Pepper. So pretty high. Don't quote me on that, but I think there's some DOC articles about it that I'll link to. I think Always Away Travel made a post about Pepper as well that I'll link to in the show notes if you want to read up. But sadly, the double cashback is gone. So I'm not sure how long-term like people are going to continue using it at 5%. The value proposition is a lot lower at 5 versus 10, but while it is 10, I'm definitely just gonna make sure I buy all the gift cards I need for everything that Pepper offers because I'm earning spend while getting a 10% discount. There's nothing to count though for Pepper in February because I did join in February and it looks like they take 30 days to post like referral bonuses. You get like a $20 for referring someone and then the additional 5% cashback, that doesn't post until 30 days later. So hopefully I'll see those in March unless something goes horribly wrong. Finally, on the discounts and freebies side, just a random discovery I wanted to share since we're talking a little bit about Home Depot, which is that there's a website. So hat tip to Chris Hutchins over at All the Hacks for giving me the heads up on this. Save and Deals. So Save and Deals. I'll post a link to that in the show notes. They list Home Depot coupons. So a variety of Home Depot and Lowe's coupons as well. Like, you know, 10% off of a Home Depot order. There's a variety of different permutations, but they cost like a couple dollars to buy, but they can potentially save you hundreds of dollars. And I know that sounds a little bit like a progressive ad or something, but I kind of wish I knew about this site earlier because, for example, I bought a wood-burning pellet stove for $1,000 at Home Depot. Looking back, I could have applied one of these 10% coupons and saved $100 off of that stove for the price of a $3 coupon. I think actually I'm looking at the site right now. There's a 15% Home Depot in-store coupon that you can buy. So I would have saved $150. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. So if you already know about this, I mean, hat tip to you because it seems like an easy way to save money at Home Depot and Lowe's. And I was actually pretty confused like how this works. Like where are they getting these coupons? But I was chatting with Chris and he said like there's like these conferences, like web conferences that you can attend where they give everyone who attends a coupon. So these guys must have like figured out a way to automate attendance to generate these coupons and make a few dollars. Like they try and make it clear in their terms, they're not selling you the coupon. They're selling you the convenience of giving you a coupon for free. They're charging you $3 for them to give you like the handling fee for the coupon. So it must be some legalese involved with them not actually being able to sell these coupons directly. There's actually an alternative site too that MForge over on Discord forwarded over to me, which is hugeoff.com. So maybe you've heard of Save and Deals or hugeoff.com. It's just an alternative like coupon, Home Depot, Lowe's coupon buying site. They both seem to function exactly the same and sell it for pretty comparable prices. So either I think would work, but yeah, just a really nice way if you have to do any home renovation stuff to save at Lowe's and Home Depot. So I'll definitely be using those going forward and stacking them with my Pepper discounted gift cards. So yeah, pretty nice. Thought I'd share. I'll link to both of those sites in the show notes. But tallying up the discounts and freebies in February, it was just the $218 from Rakuten payouts. All right, so tallying everything up in February, starting with banks, there was $910 from Fidelity and Upgrade. Credit cards, 464,000 points from Capital One, Chase, and Southwest. Brokerages, $4,450 from Robinhood and M1. Milkits, $50 from HelloFresh. Discounts and freebies, $218 from Rakuten. For a total of $5,628 in cash plus 464,000 points. Wow, pretty big month. Obviously, Robinhood carried the team a little bit, you know, contributing like $3,500 to it. But even without Robinhood, there'd be $2,000 plus almost 500,000 points. So pretty amazing month overall. I feel like I've been churning pretty hard so far in the first couple months of the year. Not sure how that ended up happening. I think just a lot of deals started getting posted. And I also had a bit of a panic when I used up all my Chase and Amex points for all the travel bookings. I was like, crap, I'm at zero. I gotta rebuild back up ASAP. And that's been going pretty well, actually. So no complaints here. And yeah, as always, thank you for listening. If you are subscribed to the newsletter, you'll get notified of one of these new episodes every time they come out. There's that live churn tracker with links to all the things we talked about today, so hopefully you don't have to take notes on any of this stuff. And of course, there's the private Discord community if you want to get really deep into some of these churns. You can find all of that at thedailychurnpodcast.com, so definitely check that out if you haven't yet. But otherwise, I'll catch you all in a couple weeks for another deep dive episode. Thanks again for tuning in. See ya.